Hello, you awakening wonders. Thanks so much for joining us for Stay Free with Russell Brand on yet another historic day. These historic days keep coming. We are obviously watching the unfolding events at the trial of Donald Trump. In fact, we've got someone on the scene, Robert Sherman. He's not actually our reporter, is he, Gareth?
No, he's from News Nation.
We've nicked one. We're using the mainstream
media. Bringing them over to us, aren't we?
We're luring him over one by one. Every single day, we're going to take another mainstream figure and corrupt them into our radical anti-establishment ways. And today, it's going to be Robert Sherman, who's one of those 4-to-1 media folk that outnumber the anticipated members of the public at the scene. Sorry I'm late today. I had to deal with some personal stuff, but I'm dealing with that now. So I'm here to talk about what's really important.
You haven't been advising Trump, have you?
I've been giving him a little bit of advice, and now I can focus on my real priority, ensuring that we are distracted from the corruption that establishment power enshrines continually and making sure that no meaningful change can ever be implemented by people coming together. Let's have a look now. Oh, do you know, later we're going to be talking to presidential candidate Marianne Williamson. She's coming on the show. I'll be talking to her about, is she an evolution of Trump? Is she the anti-Trump? We've got a fantastic presentation on Hillary Clinton running again. You're going to enjoy that. It's fantastic stuff. But let's have a look now how Fox News are reporting the Trump situation. Plus, we're going to be going live looking at mainstream media. If you're watching this on YouTube, you can watch this bit on YouTube for about 15 minutes. Then we click over to being exclusively on Rumble, simply so that we can attack the establishment more elaborately, more specifically, more particularly without fear of censorship or strikes or any of that stuff. So if you're watching us on YouTube, there's a link in the description. You can join us on Rumble. You can even become a member of our community where people say sort of delightful things. Like sometimes people are just posting like hearts and things like that, but there's a lot of radical discourse on there as well. Oh, sometimes they talk about things that's not even to do with us. That I don't like. Let's see how the mainstream media in the form of Fox News are reporting current events.
Well, there is a ton of activity here in Lower Manhattan outside of the courthouse. A lot of police officers and a lot of reporters looking to cover this historic story. I'm going to ask my photographer, Phil, here to pan and zoom in closer to the scene right across or right down the street.
Pan right into. Why do we need to know Phil's name? Why are you personalizing Phil? All the while we're watching this, we think on Stay Free Media that what we think is significant are the stories that are not being told while this one is being told. It's definitely a fascinating story because it's, a political trial dressed up as a legal one. I think even if you loathe Trump, you would accept that this isn't a case about he did what with campaign funds? That's one of our proudest traditions. How are we supposed to build administrations that successively drone children in foreign lands and call it rational when people are misappropriating campaign funds? How are we to find ways of having an endless war to keep the military-industrial complex going with people misspending campaign funds? How is it possible that when there's a financial crash, the richest interests in the world somehow seem to benefit and ordinary people lose their homes when Donald Trump is misusing campaign funds? How can we have a pandemic that whatever else it does and didn't do, made sure the pharmaceutical industry, who spent a considerable amount of money on lobbying, became richer than ever before if Donald Trump keeps misusing his campaign fund? Stormzy Daniels, fury be at thee. It's whatever it is about. It's not about that, is it? It's not about, hey, the law, the precious law, the law designed to enshrine corruption, the law designed to protect elites, the very laws that enable people to rob you en masse, they have to be protected. The law is not sacred. The law is a tool of the powerful. Whether Donald Trump goes to prison, like sweet Lord Jesus before him, or not, because that's a reference to the Marjorie Taylor Greene interview in a minute. You're going to love that. You're going to stay. You've got to stay for that. Or doesn't it? That doesn't change the diagnosis of the global legal situation one iota. Let's have a little bit. Let's have a look at Phil's camera work on Fox News, and then I reckon get ready with the live stuff. I'm really fascinated to see the live stuff.
From us, you will see over there just this mob of reporters, local, international, and national media looking to cover this story of global significance. People are standing shoulder to shoulder. It's hard to imagine squeezing another camera in between all of those people. But
Would you imagine that? It's hard to imagine it, but I will.
Try, though, for a second. Just
Phil,
try.
Phil, you imagine it. Why don't we, if we both imagine it hard enough, maybe if it was a tiny camera and a mouse reporter, they could film the more seen aspects of this case. So that's. Let's have a look what's going on right now on the mainstream. Is it CNN? Is it MSNBC? What mainstream media outlet are we going to live right now? It's CNN. Let's see what they're saying.
That the reason he didn't come up immediately to turn himself in was the Secret Service wanted time. Is that accurate? Do you know?
No, it's not. It's not accurate whatsoever. It's nonsense.
It's Anderson Cooper, the grandeur, the grandiosity, the magnificent, the push-in shot from on high. The grammar of the news at this time, the armed guards, everything, whether you are a pro-Trump person or an anti-Trump person.
Well, they're all pro-Trump in this case. The media make a lot of money out of this. Their ratings are going through the roof, exactly as when he was president. They're making a lot of money. Whoever purports to not like Trump, they are making a significant amount of money.
Stay free with Russell Brand. See it first on Rumble. What I love about Trump is the ad-libs, his willingness to pursue tangential, ancillary and discursive thoughts. That is the kind of populist rhetoric that reaches people. It's his ability to communicate like that and to, from an anti-establishment platform, make points that cannot be addressed by mainstream systemic opposition. That is why I'm very excited to talk to presidential candidate, or at least she's standing for the presidency or the leadership of the Democratic Party, Marianne Williamson. Marianne and I have met several times. She's a fantastic author. She was a presidential candidate last time round. She's a presidential candidate once more. And Marianne, it's so lovely to see you. Thanks for joining us. What I wanted to say is that last time round, I think where you were particularly effective was recognising that the Democrats were not addressing the kind of psychic charge and potency of Donald Trump, because they essentially are tied to the same corporate interests that have undergirded mainstream politics for a long time. Why do you think that Trump is once more at the forefront of the news cycle? What does that tell us about the failings of the Democratic Party? And what does it tell us about the political landscape more broadly, that Trump continues to dominate, supported essentially by both sides, particularly from a media perspective, because they are all he talks about? And how are you going to penetrate that space and give people hope that there's an alternative to Donald Trump, acknowledging that the reason that Donald Trump is so successful and effective is because of the centralized corruption that I'm sure that you would oppose also?
Yeah, I don't disagree with your analysis. So this is the deal. Many people thought that if we could only defeat Trump in 2020, that the problems would be over. And we now realize that it was more like a tumor that had already metastasized. There's this plague of hatred. So many of the darkest aspects of American consciousness that were harnessed by him for political purposes had already metastasized, and they have not gone away. But we have to go back to what made this country so vulnerable to him to begin with. And that has to do with the fact that, as Franklin Roosevelt said, we don't have to worry about a fascist takeover as long as democracy delivers on its blessings. This country should never have been so vulnerable to a man like Donald Trump. We were so vulnerable in large part because democracy had not. If democracy was delivering on its blessings, then the average American would have the same things that the average European and every other advanced European nation has, such as universal health care, such as a guaranteed livable wage, such as easy access to a higher education, such as free child care, such as paternity and maternity leave. So our immune system was so weakened because of this corruption, neoliberalism, trickle-down economics, whatever you want to call it. When you have 80% of people in a country who are living 60% living paycheck to paycheck, 80% of Americans living with chronic economic struggle, then that forms a kind of petri dish out of which all manner of personal and societal dysfunction is inevitable, whether it's Donald Trump or anyone else. Now, since this last election, and I'm very glad that he was defeated in 2020, but we have not provided the massive infusion of economic hope and opportunity to the American people that will guarantee that we will not be vulnerable to him in 2024. And that's why an agenda that does not just present an alleviation of economic stress, but which actually proposes an economic U-turn in this country, actually proposes fundamental economic reform, is not only the way to beat him in 24, but it's also the way to repair this country.
A lot of people watching this right now will think that Donald Trump is absolutely fantastic, that Donald Trump is the solution, that Donald Trump wants to drain the swamp, that Donald Trump speaks for them. You know that Donald Trump's success was significantly built on blue-collar votes, that he experienced great success in poor communities. A lot of people watching this right now, I know, will not want to hear Donald Trump attacked. What I try to offer here is the opportunity to address the conditions that are not being addressed by either side. That Biden promised to rein in Big Pharma, then offered a mealy-mouthed, compromised bill that will not meaningfully impact the pharmaceutical industry at all. That no one is talking about a peace deal between Ukraine and Russia. And in fact, it's apparent that that process was possibly interrupted. What I feel like, even, and as a person that lives in Europe, things ain't so great here either. We similarly toil under centralized government that appear to operate on behalf of corporate interests rather than the people that put them into power. Sure, we might have some comparative compromises and some little pieces of welfare here or there that you might think were a reflection of a more enlightened governmental perspective, but it's the same deal basically. Corporate interests set the deal. We basically think politicians are corrupt. They got second jobs. They own shares in this or that. They're connected to hedge funds. And Marianne, what I think is required is a kind of radicalism in the political conversation, a kind of boldness of vision that we can certainly assess what Trump did in office and the failings and where he plainly administered on behalf of economic elites. But we have to accept that since then, Biden said to his donors, as you are obviously aware, you got nothing to worry about with me in office. You know that he's funded by big tech, Wall Street, big pharma, or at least the Democrat Party largely are. So how, from within this system, do you ever make significant changes? What is your agenda that would appeal to people that would happily vote for Donald Trump because of his anti-establishment stance?
Well, in 2016, Donald Trump said to the American people, your rage is legitimate. And he was correct. And that's the same thing that Bernie Sanders said. Both of them told the American people, your pain is valid, your anger about it. You are living at the effect of a rigged economic system. The difference is that Donald Trump was saying it because he's master of the art of the deal. He knew it's what people wanted to hear. Bernie Sanders actually meant it. So many, yes, he spoke to people, as did Bernie. But once he got into office, I think a lot of those people have seen how conned they were by the things that he said. There is a radicalism the way that Franklin Roosevelt said. He said, I feel we must become fairly radical for a generation. You're right. It's in my country, it would be considered a radical Americanism, that it would be a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, rather than a government of the corporations, by the corporations, and for the corporations. Now, I'm concerned, as you are, that the Democratic Party is trying to have it both ways. The Democratic Party sees people, and I don't want to say the Democratic Party, the Democratic establishment elite, sees the pain and wants to address it on the periphery, but they know more than the Republicans sometimes are willing to challenge the underlying corporate forces that make the return of that pain always inevitable. To that extent, I am the candidate who is saying much of what you're saying, and it's also why the Democratic corporate elite does not want it. Now, this is the deal. When you ask, how are you going to break through? History has never been made by people who say that it can't be done. You know, I look at it a lot like the Berlin Wall. If you ask, well, what made the Berlin Wall fall? Well, if you look at it on the outside, somebody made a phone call to somebody else and it was misunderstood, and then they called the gate, and then they opened the gate. But that's not what really made the Berlin Wall fall. What really made is just the thousands and thousands and thousands of efforts made. You just keep pushing. You know, I saw somebody on television the other day talking about how we're gonna bring down an unjust system, the economic and political system that you're talking about. And he said, somebody is going to break through. We don't have time to think about, well, would this person do it? Would that do it? All of it's going to do it. Every conversation, every podcast, every labor effort, every election of a progressive, you just keep pushing, you just keep pushing. To me, if we go into cynicism, if we go into, no, it can't be done, that's acquiescing to the system. And I think we just need to keep pushing. And I believe with all my heart, somebody's going to push breakthrough. And what point of breakthrough it's going to be is not what's as relevant as the fact that all of us just need to keep pushing in whatever way we can, and supporting other people who are doing it too.
I agree with you, and I'm excited by you as a candidate, as you know, because of your spiritual beliefs and credentials and your optimism and your credentials as a teacher, Marianne. We spoke to Brianna Joy Gray yesterday, who was prominent in Bernie's campaigning. And, you know, and I know that Bernie fell foul of, well, he was stiffed by rigged systems within the Democrat Party, the elite that you described. And Bernie, of course, was a long-standing independent candidate before aligning with the Democrats. Do you not think that the sort of popular support being garnered by people, like whether it's the Tea Party, libertarian right, perhaps in the great form of Donald Trump, or figures like Bernie with his kind of populist support, these are ultimately independent-style candidates that are sort of operating within the party system. Do you not think that there might be a future for a sort of a confederacy or alliance, at least, if that's an incendiary word, of independent candidates challenging systemic corruption that can incorporate both tradition, the traditional values typically enshrined by the Republican right, and the progressive values, shall we call them, that are seen within the social justice movement? Because I feel like, you know, I am optimistic, but I feel that new alliances, tolerance, open-heartedness are going to have to be embraced if we are going to confront the sort of entrenched systemic corporate interests that seem very difficult to shift or alter, no matter who is in office.
Well, I think that what you're describing is possible, but it hasn't happened yet. So at this moment, we have to go with what is, and every person has to go with where they feel they can help the breakthrough happen in the circumstances that now exist.
I think you're right. Thanks, Marianne. What about in the world of mental health, Big Pharma requires that 40 million Americans stay on antidepressants. 4 in 10 lobbying dollars go to healthcare or food interests, and it seems that there's some corollary between those two things. How can you disrupt a system with so much financial investment in it and with so much systemic support?
Well, it shouldn't be a fringe or radical thing to point out that Americans appear to be over-medicated. And yet I know from my campaign last time, boy, you get anywhere near anything like that, and that's when they come after you. And I know they came after me last time. They've already come after me this time. What we have is a matrix, a corporate matrix. That's why it's often called a corporatocracy. Basically, it's a reversion to an aristocratic system. It's insurance companies, pharmaceutical companies, big food, big agriculture, big chemical companies, gun manufacturers, big oil, and defense contractors. And as long as we have profit-based healthcare system, as long as we have a profit-based, basically, journalism in this country, as long as we have profit-based foreign policy, then this situation is going to be sitting on top of us. They have a grip. They are holding the U.S. government hostage, and our government, therefore, is more of a system of legalized bribery. But you have to call them on it everywhere you can, including Big Pharma, and the ultimate answer, the ultimate victory is going to be when enough people wake up and realize how systemically disinformed we are. We are mentally trained to expect too little. We are mentally trained, and Big Pharma is a perfect example. Most people who are listening right now, if they live in the United States, know somebody, if they're not already somebody, rationing their insulin, going to Mexico or going to Canada to get their insulin. Stop it with thinking these people always have your best interests at heart. Obviously, there are things done by big pharmaceutical companies that all of us are grateful for, but they are predatory in too many cases, creating profit centers as we know they did with the opioid crisis. And we should not be so naive as to think they're not doing with any other area.
Thank you, Marianne. If you're watching us on YouTube right now, we're going to go exclusively live onto Rumble while I ask Marianne if she has the grace to allow it to answer one more question on war and whether or not now the Democrat Party are officially the party of war, co-opted by military-industrial complex interests. I'm not going to ask Marianne that on YouTube with all the incumbent risks. That's a question I can only ask in the free speech domain that is Rumble. Click the link in the description and join us there. Marianne, what do you feel about the Democrat Party's stance on war? What do you think when Senator Bernie Sanders votes with the party on funding ongoing wars? What's your personal approach?
Well, when it comes to our $858 billion defense budget, both parties are equally bought by these companies. Raytheon, Northrop Grumman, Boeing, and so forth, they don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat. They're going to make sure that they donate to your campaigns so they have you in their pocket. And so it's not about, is it the Republicans or is it the Democrats? It's clearly undue influence by the military-industrial complex on our foreign policy.
Marianne, thank you so much for joining us. It's fantastic to see you again. You can follow Marianne's work and campaign by going to marianne2024.com. I suggest you do that to inform yourself about the possibilities of a radical candidate from the Democrat Party. Marianne, thanks for joining us.
Always great to see you.
It's lovely to have your time. Thank you very much. Hey, so listen, I don't know if that... I guess we're going to wrap up for today, but tomorrow, what will have happened?
Oh, wow.
Tomorrow, will he have been arraigned then?
I think so. We'll have all the details of the charges.
Arraigned, would that be better? We'll know all of the charges tomorrow. We'll be talking about that. This says to be 32. When we had Brianna Joy Gray on yesterday, she said that there's that one out of Georgia that's a bit more heavy, maybe sort of meddling with something or whatever, wasn't it? Or
election results. Yeah.
The alleged rigging of elections. Certainly, that sort of thing shouldn't be going on. Not from any party at any time, right, kids? We've also got Adam Andrzejewski from Open the Books. You're going to love this guy. If you've not seen him on our show before, what he does is he bothers people till they give him documents and then reveals what's in them. He troubles them, doesn't he? He's always a little bow tie. He's an amazing guy. Calls me Mr. Brand. It's brilliant. He's going to tell us about that 180 grand cancer drug that Biden, all the while pretending to care about cancer and everything, literally there's administration or legislation in place, the Bayh-Dole Act, where he could just stop that and help people suffering from cancer to get their drugs at a reasonable price. He simply don't use it. Why? Because he's a stooge of the system. You know that already. Guys, I hope you're enjoying this coverage. I wish you'd join us on Locals. We can be a deep down member of our community, joining this frivolity and fun like the people are right now. Let's just see what they're saying there before we leave you till tomorrow. Oh, look at this. Hillary Clinton. Yeah, Ashella, I repel bad for Trumpster. Barry John Fox, it's great. Keep going till the arraignment is over. This is history in real time. Some people just don't want us to go. Just say no to voter fraud, says Velody. Decanu, thank you so much, guys. You're awesome. I think she's talking about us. So what do you want to do? I mean, we can't just stay forever waiting for a man to be arraigned.
That's what they're doing.
Detective. They're just going to wait there.
Yeah.
In the streets. But what you should know is it's mostly media that's standing out there. That's not the process of observing the spectacle is the spectacle.
Yeah.
That's your take home today. Go and read some Baudrillard and unpack that. The spectacle is generating itself, and as long as you're trapped within its prismic inauthenticity, you will not get the pure white light of truth. And I mean white, transcendent of all other colours, holding all of us together. Sign up to Locals, you get a weekly meditation out of me. Also, you get access to live podcast recordings. You can join us here. Anyway, we'll see you tomorrow for yet more history. Every day is a historic day.
Unprecedented.
It's unprecedented. Every day is unprecedented. Yep. Every day is historic. Join us tomorrow, not for more of the same, for more of the unprecedented and more of the historic and more of the different. Until then, stay free. Switch on, switch off, switch on, switch off.